Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 37. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, speaker, educator, consultant, and champion of simple living, Duane Elgin, author of the classic Voluntary Simplicity. This is the second of two parts, focusing on great transition stories. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, and comprehensive lifestyle. It is not a list of rules, nor is it living on the cheap. It is not a hobby. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, but not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, just as our closing theme song says. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've just discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. I'm glad you're with me today from Paso Robles, California. I gave an extensive bibliographic introduction of Duane last episode. The interview this episode is conducted by Chantel Westerman at the 2013 Sun Valley Wellness Festival and focuses on Duane's current big project, Great Transition Stories, for which he serves as the executive director. These stories are critical to the adoption of simple living because our current primary stories support growth capitalism, which is devouring the earth.
Welcome back to our coverage here in our brand new Concierge Q studios of the Sun Valley Wellness Festival, sponsored by our great friend Barry Peterson and Barry Peterson Jewelers. I'm going to jump right into my next guest because I am such a fan and follower and have been for so long. His name is Duane Elgin, and Duane is an internationally known author, lecturer, speaker all over the world. He's an activist. He's done so much to move the world forward. Just to give you an idea, his books include, and this is just a few, by the way, The Living Universe, The Promise Ahead, Voluntary Simplicity, and Awakening Earth. That said, for me, what Duane Elgin is more than anything else is a storyteller. He is in the ranks of people like Robert Bly, Joseph Campbell, Bill Moyers. He tells stories, and I think the stories are what move us forward. So with great respect and joy, I welcome Duane Elgin.
Oh, thank you.
Duane, thank you for taking time, because I know so many people want your attention at the Wellness Festival, so I really, really appreciate your stopping by. You know, it took me a very long time to realize that stories are not just for children.
Right.
I mean, they're good for children, but they're so important to us as adults. Tell me why, from your perspective.
We live in story. All day long, psychologists have done studies, and they have found that about two-thirds of the time, we're walking around seemingly rational adults, but we're telling ourselves stories. We're walking around looking at things, people, and things are happening, and we're telling ourselves stories about that all the time.
And sometimes they're not true, the stories we're telling ourselves.
Exactly. The story may not fit the reality at all. It fits who we are inside as opposed to what the reality is outside.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the powerful things about stories that really draws me is that we as a human family are between stories. The old story, for example, of the American dream is now becoming the world's nightmare. With resource depletion, species extinction, and climate change, and all the rest. And so the old story of success through material accumulation and such is breaking down. Mm-hmm. And people are saying, it's not that it was a bad story, it worked great. But we need a new story that will take us further, not back, but ahead into a more promising and productive future. And right now, when I go out and I ask people, well, tell me your story. How does the future look for you?
Mm-hmm.
Often I'll get three words back. Well, we're going to hit the wall. We're going to go in the ditch. We're going to go over the cliff. And I'm saying this is an amazingly impoverished view of the future. Mm-hmm. And if we can't tell our story, a story about where we're going and who we are and the world that we're in, we're lost. And if we're lost and we're in a situation of great crisis as the world is moving into, if we're lost and confused, we're going to move into conflict. And instead of pulling together in cooperation, we're going to pull apart in conflict.
Mm.
And so if we are going to have a world that works, now is the time to start telling those stories that pull us together.
So and, is it about, for example, just coming from a place of yes? Just deciding that that is your story, that's my story. I'm going to come from a place of, yes, this is good, to be more expansive.
Mm. Here's there are four criteria that I give to these stories, finally. They have to be universal, first of all.
Yeah.
Everyone on the earth should be able to hear the story and say, oh, okay, I can understand that.
I got it.
It has to be simple.
Mm.
I should be able to tell a story in less than one sentence. One sentence or less.
Really?
Yes. Third, it needs to be emotionally powerful. Who cares if it isn't emotionally powerful? And fourthly, it needs to draw forth our higher, evoke our higher potentials. What kind of story might that be? Well, here's one. I've asked around the world, is the human family growing up? Are we growing up? Are we maturing? What is the life stage of the human family? Are we toddlers, teenagers, adults, or elders? And I ask that all over the world.
And what's the answer?
And the answer overwhelmingly, all around the world, it comes back, is that we're in our teenage stage.
I would have said just that. Yes, I would have said exactly that had you asked.
Okay, so now look, that explains a lot. I mean, if you get under all of the data and statistics and all the rest, and you say, oh, you mean that's what's going on? We're just adolescents trying to get into our adulthood? Yeah, that's what's going on. That's a story. Then I ask people, well, what was it in your life that enabled you to go from your adolescence to your adulthood? And people say, well, it was a bigger story about what I was doing here. It was a role model, someone that really inspired me. It was having responsibility thrust upon me,
mm-hmm.
you know, climate change, species extinction, all the rest. And so what I am saying is that we have within our own life experience deep wisdom about what the entire world requires for its movement from let's say immaturity of to adolescence into maturity of early adulthood.
But my question would be there. I agree with you. I think we have information. I think we have access to that. Why is it that so many of us don't listen?
Why is it that we don't listen? I think we're busy inside.
Mm-hmm.
We're busy telling
with our story.
With our story.
Of course.
And it takes one expression of maturity is the ability to pause within and to receive another.
Mm.
And that would be an expression of that maturity. Now, let me just not stop with that one story of humanity growing up.
Mm.
People understand that story all around the world. There's another story. I'll say the global brain is waking up. Just that, five words, six words. Someone will pull out their cell phone, and they'll say, oh, you mean this? I say, yeah. And someone else will say, oh, you mean the Occupy movement? Oh, you mean the Arab Spring movement? Yeah. And so with four or five words, all of a sudden people are telling me the story.
Yes.
They're telling, and the world is, this is extraordinary. Within one generation, we've gone from essentially geographic isolation into intimacy that's unprecedented in human history. There's another story, a story from isolation to profound global connection. Another story might be planetary birth. Let's take one from biology. We're giving birth to a planetary species.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, like in the birth process, contraction, financial contraction, relaxation, contraction, maybe environmental relaxation. Mm-hmm. But at some point, there is going to be sustained labor, and we are either going to give birth to a stillborn civilization, or we're going to give birth to a vibrant new species civilization, and that's a choice right now. There's another story, planetary birth. And so another story, Joseph Campbell's story, The Hero's Journey. Who are we? Are we evolutionary villains destroying the Earth, or are we heroes on an evolutionary journey of awakening? And I think we're on an evolutionary journey of awakening. We're on a heroic journey as a human family, and we're meeting that supreme test that Campbell talks about, where we either rise beyond the ego of the past and into the new future, or we fall. So there are now more than a dozen stories we pulled together.
Yes.
To say, you don't like biology? How about mythology? Well, how about psychology? And so on. So there's an ecology of narratives that are now emerging in the world. Many stories that weave together and give us hope for understanding a more promising future.
So what you're talking about is changing our view of the cultural narrative.
Yes, absolutely. And the personal narrative at the same time.
Yes.
So if I say, well, I'm living in a living universe, and what matters is the aliveness of that universe, well, then I'm going to go around looking for the aliveness. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find that in relationships. I'm going to find it in nature. I'm going to find it in my creative expressions. I'm going to find it in music. But if I say it's a dead universe, then I'm going to say, you know, what matters is matter. And the more matter I have, the more I must matter. So I'm going to start piling up my matter. I'm going to get a bigger house, a bigger car, and more money. And the more matter there is, the more I must matter. I must be really important. So immediately from the mindset, the universe is as a non-living system, you get an exploitive, consumerist kind of approach. But if you say it's alive, well, then what you want to do is engage the aliveness. And so what we're seeing is a deep shift both personally and then collectively into another way of being and relating.
What's wonderful about your purview on the world, and especially because I'm blessed enough to have you eye to eye, heart to heart, person to person, is that you're contagious. You're contagious, because as I speak to you, Duane, literally I feel a shift in me. I feel a shift thinking, you know what? I actually had this thought when you were talking. I don't think I need those jeans that I was going to buy, because I have a lot of jeans. So that kind of contagion is another story that is necessary.
Yeah. That's true.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. It is. And it's that's a wonderful insight, the contagion of consciousness in an awakening species civilization. You know, we need to infect one another with this contagion of awakening, to where we see that we're all cousins here on this earth. You know, we're very, very related, and we're all in this together and pulled together as cousins do in a family. And so this is an extraordinary time of great transition.
You know, something that a lot of people do, and I know you have to run after this, but I wanted to ask you this ever since I heard you speak. When we watch television these days, whether it's what happened in Oklahoma or Boston or Sandy Hook, so many of us as Americans, we get hooked into that television. And we watch negativity and violence all day long.
Yeah.
Should we stop that? Should we try to stop? Does that imprint in our brain?
Oh, absolutely, imprints. The average
because
person,
that's a story that we get into,
yes,
is my point.
Absolutely, yeah. You see, I'm not for censorship. Let's say I'm not in favor of saying, no, we shouldn't see any of that. What I'm in favor of, I think the biggest problem with television is what's not on television. It's what's not on television.
Interesting.
And what's on television is adolescent entertainment. And it's adolescent entertainment that's distracting us from what's happening in the real world.
What should be on television?
What should be on television is real world programming, where people are acting with generosity, where people are building community, where people are engaging the aliveness of a living universe, where they're celebrating that sense of aliveness, where you can get contagion in that.
Yes.
That's what should be on television. Let's understand climate change. You know, there was more time given to Donald Trump's hair on television than was authentically given to climate change. This is insanity of how we are feeding our collective consciousness, and it's time to take back the airwaves. It is time for a new level of conversation in our democracy, and as the media goes, so goes the future. And so let's have an Earth Voice movement, an Earth Voice movement.
I think you're right. There was more attention given to Donald Trump's hair, and what a tragedy that is. And speaking of conversation, I hope this is not my last conversation
with
you.
Likewise. Yeah.
I am a huge fan and follower. I repeat myself, but it is so. And now, dare I say, I love you even more.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for stopping by our Q Studios.
Good
and
to be
we
here.
Will continue.
We shall.
We will continue our coverage of the Sun Valley Wellness Festival with fabulous people like Dwayne and Elgin.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a guest interview with Dwayne Elgin. Be sure to listen to the previous episode for more about Dwayne. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to podcast@simplelivingworks.org. or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. You can also comment on our Facebook page or on our Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. We've had some really good response recently. Warren C. commented on our video, Angels We Have Heard on High, which is part of our Carols with Justice collection, and he says simply, I love this video. Thank you, Warren. Also, another blogger recently made reference to Carols with Justice on the shared housing blog of JubileeEconomics.org. The piece, A First Holiday Season in Our Shared Household, has 3 short sections, Blending Family Cultures, Patience, Communication, Humor, and Respect, and So What About Christmas? In the final section, blogger Harry Watkins said, well, we pulled out a few of our most meaningful ornaments and decorated one tree while telling the stories of the life events associated with those ornaments. We decided to celebrate the season as a family on Christmas Eve. Harry and Carol cooked the meal, and Lee and Juanita cleaned up. Then Carol played her harp, and Juanita her ukulele. We sang Carols with Justice from a resource that Lee and Juanita obtained years ago from the organization Alternatives for Simple Living. We exchanged gifts and enjoyed some eggnog. Christmas morning, Lee and Juanita gathered around as Carol and I played Baby Jesus in the manger, that is, placed Baby Jesus in the manger in our creche, a ceremony from our girls' childhood, and prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. And then we each went off to celebrate Christmas gatherings with our respective extended families. It was a surprising and blessed time. Merging families isn't child's play. It isn't for the faint of heart or risk adverse. And truly, we haven't faced any major crises together yet or been tested in any serious way, but so far, so good. I'm optimistic and I'm feeling blessed to be part of my new chosen family. Well, I urge you to read the Shared Housing blog. It is helpful and revealing personal look at simpler living. I'll link to it in the show notes for this episode at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Also, I heard from Nancy Schultz at the Shawano County University of Wisconsin Extension, and she said, good morning. I will be doing an hour program with Head Start parents about Christmas presents versus presents. I would like to use some of the material you created to give as a worksheet for them to complete in class. I adapted it for use for our young families. I have attached the material I would like to print for the participants. I'm asking if I can get permission to use this material in my presentation. Please let me know if it would be okay. Thanks. And I wrote back to Nancy saying, so good to hear from you. Unplug the Christmas Machine is one of the few resources on our site owned by someone else. I am also sending this email to the author, Joe Robinson, because you are adapting and making copies of her work. She has been quite eager for us to promote her classic book, so I don't anticipate any objection. Thanks for the credit at the bottom. And so, Unplug the Christmas Machine, A Complete Guide to Putting Love and Joy Back into the Season, is by Joe Robinson and Gene C. Staley. And I heard that back then from Joe Robinson, and she said, "You're right, Gerald. Gene and I are happy to give our permission to Nancy to adapt our work, wishing you a merry and meaningful Christmas." I hope more listeners will take advantage of Unplug the Christmas Machine next fall, and also the many other, the hundreds of resources we have throughout the year to meet our mission. Heard a pleasant brief comment from Barry Hors from St. Paul Lutheran, ELCA, in Mayville, Wisconsin, and he said, "Nice stuff, Gerald. Keep it up." Thanks for the encouragement, Barry. Heard from Phyllis Jennings, and she said, "I'm looking for resources for a family-sponsored financial management class, faith-based but not fundamentalist. Needs to be appropriate for all configurations of families, including LGBT. Any ideas?" And I replied to Phyllis, "Although Dave Ramsey is quite popular, a faith-based financial advisor, he's quite conservative. I recommend the Faith and Money Network at faithandmoneynetwork.org. They have a helpful study guide and a recent podcast series." And I, of course, will also list Faith and Money Network in the show notes for this episode. Then in regard to my blog, Send a Message, Be a Message, I received this. "Dear Jerry, I love your idea of wearing a message. Although I admit I gave many of my t-shirts with words on them away, since too many were just advertising one-time events like a walk or run for various causes and weren't appropriate for work. I'll have to think more about your idea of spreading the word in more significant ways. Thanks also for spreading the word about Simplifying Christmas and the various writings I have done on this topic. Fondly, Susan Vogt." Thank you, Susan. And by the way, in episode 38, I interview another champion of simple living today, author and blogger Susan Vogt, best known to me through Parenting for Peace and Justice, once a program of the Institute for Peace and Justice, and her blogs, Family Matters and Living Lightly. Time to wrap up episode 37 of Simple Living Works. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. You can also subscribe to my other podcast called The Common Good Podcast at iTunes. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. And thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes. Click About. This broadcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link at the bottom of our website homepage, simplelivingworks.org. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. Mmm.